The New Testament passage, or rather the second passage today, is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 31 to 46. They'll most probably be familiar to most of us. Although the Pew Bible page is listed there, I ask you this time to close your Bibles, or at least put your finger in it. You can relate to it later. And as I read, I ask you to listen to God's Word, to listen. Also, I'm reading from the Message version. When he finally arrives, blazing in beauty and all his angels with him, the Son of Man will take his place on his glorious throne. Then all the nations will be arranged before him, and he will sort the people out, much as a shepherd sorts out sheep and goats, putting sheep to his left and goats, or right rather, and goats to his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Enter, you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation, and here's why. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit. I was in prison and you came to me." Then those sheep are going to say, "Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison and come to you?" Then the king will say, "I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me." Then he will turn to the goats, the ones on his left, and say, "Get out, worthless goats. You're good for nothing but the fires of hell. And why? Because I was hungry and you gave me no meal. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was homeless, you gave me no bed. I was shivering and you gave me no clothes. Sick and in prison and you never visited." Then those goats are going to say, "Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or homeless or shivering or sick or in prison and didn't help?" And he will answer them, "I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you failed to do one of these things to someone who was being overlooked or ignored, that was me. You failed to do it to me." Then those goats will be herded to their eternal doom, but the sheep to their eternal reward. The word of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Last week, I talked about PTSD, that is post-traumatic stress disorder. Mentioning that, of course, we most associate this with soldiers, men and women, returning from battle, returning from war, and as a consequence for many. I think if I remember, something like 8 million people in this country suffer from PTSD. Now, maybe not all of those are military. And what I did mention is that there's a fairly high suicide rate also connected with PTSD. Our nation has been experiencing something like that. We could call it PED, post-election disorder. Many have been traumatized, and everybody may not recognize that. In fact, I had a conversation with someone who said, "You know, people win and lose elections all the time. What's wrong? What the people who are protesting, Why can't they just accept that they lost and move on? And I had to say that, man, there's something different this time. Can't remember any other time. I don't know if there ever has been a time. I haven't checked all the history for all of it, but I'd be very doubtful that there was ever such a negative response to a presidential election as in our country. There are still protests going on. Friday night on Broadway, the cast of Hamilton, during the curtain calls, lectured or reached out to and spoke to Vice President-elect Mike Pence, who was in the audience. Actually, he was on his way out with the Secret Service, and he stopped where he was. They asked him to stop and pleaded with them about taking care of their concerns, about their concerns for people who may be marginalized or maybe the least of these. Now, last Sunday, some were upset with me. Not so much because of what I preached about, but what I prayed about. And in the prayer, I may not have expressed myself as clearly as I had wanted to be, but I mention it for this reason. There's such a strong reaction to this election that even a pastoral prayer can raise the hackles of somebody. I'm not going to look at anybody directly here, but the choir knows who I'm talking about. Right, Larry? No, I'm sorry. All right, so I don't preach political sermons, as most of you might know. I don't know if I've ever preached a political sermon. Maybe I've made political comments during it. For one, we're really not supposed to. We're a tax-exempt organization, for one, and it's the law, that our tax, as a tax-exempt organization, we're not supposed to try to influence elections or people's vote. But the election's over, and I can't influence or change anybody's vote because you've already voted. I'm going to talk some politics today, and if you're not comfortable with that, I totally understand, and I invite you with no ill feeling to feel free to leave. I mean, that will not hurt me in any way, and if that's if you would rather not hear the comments that I'm going to make, because I'm going to tell you what I think. Lou Mitchell, your pastor. And if you're not comfortable with that, please feel free to not listen. You don't have to listen to this. I did not vote for Donald Trump. I want to make that perfectly clear. I did not support his candidacy. Truth be told, in the primaries, I didn't vote for Hillary Clinton. I voted, as a Democrat, for Bernie Sanders. I, along with many, found comments that Mr. Trump made quite disconcerting. And what's a bit of an enigma to me, and to many, maybe to you, is that he won the vote of certain key groups of people, among them white men and women evangelicals. I'm a white male evangelical. And that really surprised me, because evangelicals are people who are known for trying to manage their lives on biblical principles. Like many, I was shocked when I first heard of Mr. Trump's candidacy about comments about Mexicans. You know this litany. I could tell you what he said. You know what he said about John Cain, about Megyn Kelly, about a handicapped reporter, about women and the Billy Bush video, and putting Hillary in jail. I saw, and maybe you see it, it's here in Cranberry. There's an election poster still up. On one side it says Trump for president, and on the back of it says Hillary for jail. I hope whoever poster that is takes it down. That's my opinion. People are going to be mad at me after this, I know that, and that's okay. All right. What shocked me about the evangelical vote was that evangelicals tend to have such high standards, personal standards, for leaders. I've been affected by the evangelical subculture because in one church I served, when I went through a divorce, divorced pastor was an oxymoron. But yet, over and over and over again, it just didn't seem to matter what Mr. Trump said or did. It just didn't seem to matter. You can't have a divorced pastor, and I'm speaking to maybe not even anybody here, my evangelical brethren. You can't have a divorced pastor, but you can have a racist, bigoted, misogynist president. You are going to be mad at me, and that's okay. I can take it. This passage that I read from Matthew 25 is a clear biblical statement. Is there anything left unclear here about the people that we are supposed to be concerned about and care about? When we stand before judgment, God isn't going to say, at least according to the criteria here, what the gross national product was, if we still even use that term, during our years. And I could give other illustrations, but I'll stop so as not to offend even more. You know the passage. Groups in front of Jesus the King. This is Christ the King Sunday. And to one group on his right, he says, "Well done. And because when you saw me hungry and thirsty and naked and sick and imprisoned, you took care of me." When did we ever do that? And this other group, when I'm not happy with you because when I was thirsty, hungry, and all of that stuff, you didn't care about me. You didn't take care of me. And both groups say, when did we ever see you that way? And either respond or not respond to you. And you know what Jesus said. And I like the translation here that's used in the Living, or the Message. It was me. You did it to me. You failed to do it to me. Because I was those who were being overlooked or ignored. I was the least of these. We have political parties, and I know that many crossed parties in their vote. A number of us are Democrats, a number of us are Republican. But all of us here are Christians. Before we are either of those parties or any party. And as Christians, We cannot dance around the obligation that Christ has given us to care for the marginalized, the ignored, the overlooked, and the least of these. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.